How many of you ever been in a tough situation and you didn't see your way out of it? Yeah. I see some people raising two hands. I ought to do that too. I could raise both feet if I could, man. Hey, you know what? You're not the only one that's going through stuff. You know, as a kid growing up, I had the privilege to grow up in the house of what they call the modern day father of faith. He didn't like that. In fact, he despised it. And he'd get upset at people when they said it because he said, all I'm doing is preaching what the Bible says. But I watched him as I grew up. I had that. And man, I watched all the impossible situations we had. I'd say to Dad, what are we going to do? And he'd look at me and he'd say, what does the Bible say? Or another one of his good replies is, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. That's what I grew up with. You know, and I found out that it's true. God never failed us. I mean, sometimes it was right at the last minute, but God always came through. So, you know, during those times, Dad would encourage us to encourage ourselves in the Lord by praising and worshiping and thanking God that it was going to happen. You know, and looking at this and thinking about praising God and encouraging yourself, look at 1 Samuel 30. Now, I may go through a lot of scriptures tonight, so you might be ready. If you got your device or you got your Bible or you got both, I know my wife, she takes her device, one of her devices, but she also has her regular Bible there and she'll look it up in both of them, I think. But I watch them front. When I see the front row's got theirs ready, I go, okay? All right. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. They had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, David in a pretty difficult situation. Now, you know, he had run from Saul, and his men had went with him, and they had gone over and joined the Philistines and were living there. So now the Philistines was going to attack Saul, and so David and him, they were part of the Philistines. They were going with them. But now some of the guys of the Philistines said to some of the captains of the Philistine army, said, listen, wait a minute, these guys are Israelites. We get in the middle of the battle, they liable to turn on us. So they sent them back home to Ziklag. That's where they were living. When they got there, they found out that it had been attacked and burned, and all their kids and their wives had all been carried away. Now, they were all distressed. David was greatly distressed. Now, I want you to notice that part of his distress came, but his own men were talking about stoning him because he's the leader. You ever notice it's always the leader's fault and sometimes he ain't got nothing to do with it? You know, I've had people that have left Ramah going out on their own. I didn't send them. I didn't tell them to go. And they got out there and it failed. And they said it was mine and Ramah's fault. They actually said it. Told people that. I thought, how can it be my fault? I didn't have nothing to do with it. But that's the way leaders are. So his lead, he's greatly distressed. But he was not only distressed from the outside, but he had an internal distress from losing his family. And so he could have given up and said, okay, God, I was anointed to be king, and I'm not king yet, because this time he's about 30 years old already. And he was anointed king about, Samuel anointed him, I think, when he's around 17. That's when he killed Goliath. But Saul was holding on to the kingship and doing everything he could to destroy David. He could have started questioning the Lord. Hey, Lord, what about all this? The prophet came to me, blah, 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 blah. He could have went on, and he could have gotten bitter. But even in all of this, he didn't get bitter. So he did something that everybody should do in the middle of their situation, whatever it is. He strengthened himself in the Lord. The King James Version said David encouraged himself in the Lord. The Basic English Bible says David made himself strong in the Lord. The Message Bible says David strengthened himself with trust in God. You know, we need to learn something from David. What to do when everything is bad. Nobody was with him. Everything was against him. Everything he had was gone from him. Now that's a tough situation. But David found himself still standing strong with his God. Maybe he encouraged himself with some of the Psalms that he had written. Psalms 18:32. It's God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Or Psalms 21:13. Be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might. Or he might have been thinking about Psalms 28:8. When it said, the Lord is the strength of his people, the fortress of salvation for his anointed ones. See, you get into the Word, you start with the Word, it'll lift you up. Here it is in Psalms 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. He began to encourage himself in the Lord. I want you to notice he's talking about what the Lord is and how the Lord was his strength. See, when you're in a situation and you don't feel like you can get out of it, the Lord is your strength. The Lord is the deliverer. The Apostle Paul then over in Romans 8:31 said, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? See, that was David in the Old Testament. Here's Paul in the New Testament. And then that's 8:31, 8:37, he says, yet in all these things we are little bit of conquerors. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Talking about being in the middle of distress. Talking about being in the middle of a situation. He went on to say, I am persuaded. See, persuaded, that's a big word. That means that there's nobody can knock it out of you. When you're persuaded about something, nobody can change it. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things that are present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on. See, then the writer of the Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul. We don't know for sure. Nobody knows for sure. But if it wasn't Paul, it was one of his followers or proteges, they would say, because the language in Hebrews is the Pauline language. Now, that's just a word for the way Paul speaks. That's a theological word that you learn in school. The Pauline epistles, Johannine literature. You know, when you're a freshman and you go in there and you're looking at all these classes and it says Johannine literature, you're 18 years old, just graduated from high school. What is Johannine literature? I thought of going to Bible school. Here it is, it's talking about literature. But that's just the way they say those things. I know Chris Cochran there. He's one of the Rhema grads, been here, been a part. He's got his Master of Divinity, I believe it is a degree. And they got all those kind of titles for them, right? Hey, because so many schools accept our credits, even though we're not accredited school, I used to teach a class called, I just went blank. Practical Ministries. Some of you that were students were in that class. Any of you that were students in that class? Well, the governing bodies that look over all the academics and stuff, they wanted a syllabus of what we teach in those different classes so they could see whether they give them credit for it or not. And they came back and they told me, they said, listen, this is a great class. We really like this class. But you're going to have to change the title of it. And I said, okay. So you're going to have to change the title. I forgot what they told me it was. Now, the theology of practical ministries. That's all I did in the whole course. Now they give full credit for that course. So it's either Paul or one of his people, because it's got the Pauline language in it. Hebrews 13:5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He said here, he never leaves us. Sometimes you're in the middle of a situation. You're in the middle of stress. You feel like, and the devil does everything. He's talking to your head. See, God's left you. And you don't feel nothing. See, that's when you really find out if you got faith, when you don't feel nothing and you're in the middle of distress. You keep saying, I believe God. Paul knew how to do that. You know, he was on that pitch and rolling deck of that ship. And he said, I believe God. He knew the ship was going down. But God had said, there's going to be protected. None of them going to lose their life. He said, I believe God. Even though the ship was going to go under. See, we have got to learn to trust God no matter what. In 1 Samuel 36, the Message Bible says, and suddenly David was even in a worse trouble, and there were talk among the men that were bitter over the loss of their families of stoning him. David strengthened himself with his trust in God. The way that David got through this situation was he never backed down on, my God is my strength, my fortress, and he will take care of me. He never backed away from it. Maybe he came back and he said, all right, God, you took care of me with the bears and the lions. You took care of me when I was out there against that giant. You're going to take care of this situation. See, you got to learn how to look at your past victories in the Lord and begin to recount those and say, okay, you took care of me then. You'll do it again. If he ever did it once, he'll do it again. See, David relied on his trust in God. In desperate times, don't allow yourself to begin to think, oh, poor old man. Begin to allow yourself to say, praise the Lord. Just another chance to prove God's word works. Just another chance to prove that the Bible's so. Just another chance for me to say, God is my source. God is my strength. and there's not no mountain going to take me down. Hello? Speak to it. Speak to you. See, when he's talking about mountains, it's not, you don't need to literally move a mountain, but you got a mountain of situations. You probably got a whole mountain range. But he didn't say take on the mountain range at all at once. He said take on one mountain at a time. That's the way you take down all your problems, one mountain at a time, by speaking to it. David began to speak to himself, encourage himself in the Lord. He remembered his writings. But I trust you, your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Man, in the middle of your situation, start singing. See, it's good to remember some good songs. Now, I remember, I'm old school. I remember all the old songs. I still listen to all of the, you know, I listen to the quartets and you know, Bill Gaither's stuff, you know. They sing the old songs, you know. But that's what I sing. Standing on a problem. Man, I'm in a tough situation. I start singing. Now, I'm not a singer, so I'm not going to try to sing it, but I'll sing it when I'm by myself. Standing on the promises of God, I cannot fail. Standing on the promises of God, I shall prevail. Amen. Hey, see, that's encouraging. That's the way you encourage yourself in the Lord. Somebody say, how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? That's the way you do it. It's easy. I don't care what in situation you're in, I don't care how down you feel. If you start singing those kind of songs and quoting the word of God, you'll be lifted up. You can't stay down singing. Now, you can't sing some of those songs of unbelief. You got to sing the, you know, Living by Faith. That's an old hymn called Living by Faith. It's a good one, too. See, we say it down where I come from, Texas, you say good one. Anywhere else, you say good one. See, I know good English, but I talk my English. One lady wrote me a letter. She was an English major, and she wrote me a letter. Several years ago, many years ago, and said, you need to correct your English. I didn't do it, but I started to write her back and tell her, hey, I like my English. I'm going to speak the way I want to. You speak how you want to. But I didn't do it, you know. That's what you want to do. But I did file it, though. I filed it in file 13. You know what file 13 is? It sits beside of my desk, and it's emptied every day. Y'all still here? You know, preacher, he got him a fishing boat. He named it Visitation. So every time somebody called into the church, the secretary said, oh, he's not here. He's out on visitation. David remembered. He said, in you I trust, O God. Don't let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. That's Psalm 25:2. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Come on now. Then he goes over here again in Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. He is faithful. God is faithful. He will do what he said he would do. You know, you can go and you can look at all the patriarchs of the Old Testament, Abraham, David, come over in the New Testament, Paul, Peter, James, John. They all talk about the faithfulness of God in one way or another. Romans 4:20-21 says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he promised, that's God, he, God, was able to perform. This is Abraham talking about when he doesn't have any sons, but God said he'd give him one. And he went around opening his mouth. Every time he opened his mouth, said, my name is Abraham. He is saying, I'm the father of many. And he didn't have any at that time. Come on now. He was saying what God said. See, you got to say what God says. And then, listen to what Paul says here in Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. The same God that was with Paul is the same God that will guard you, take care of you. Y'all know I just went in the last of May, 1st of June, I was over in Greece. And I got to go. I had a day off. Well, actually, it's a half a day. But no, it was a day off before I come back. And I got to go to Philippi. And I saw the ruins of Philippi. But then I went to a place and they say, they think this is, and it was a dungeon prison deal. And they said, this is where Paul and Silas was in prison. They were in distress. Their backs had been beaten. They were down in the dungeon in the lower parts of the prison. And they began to complain to one another. Well, why did God have us come over here? No. They began to sing praises. Encourage themselves in the Lord. They began to sing praises. And they hadn't sang praises very long, and then something started going on. Then a whole lot of shaking started going on. I know that's out of an old 50s song, a whole lot of shaking. But there was a whole lot of shaking going on. It shook them loose. They were in stocks, it says. So here they are in stocks. But the stocks come off. The prison come down. And they come out. In the middle of their distress, in the middle of their situation, they begin to sing praises to God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. The Lord is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering, NLT says, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Trusted to keep his promise. If God did it once, he'll do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, if God did it once, he'll do it again. Point to yourself. If God did it once, he'll do it for me. Come on now, you got to believe that. If he took care of others, he'll take care. He takes care of his children. God did it for Israel. He'll do it for us. We're his children. We are the children of Abraham. Galatians 3:13 says we are. We are the Galatians 3:7 says we are. 3:29. We are the descendants, spiritual descendants of Abraham. We're not the physical. See, we have been engrafted into the family. You study the Word of God and it talks about all that. How that we are engrafted into the family. Through what? Through Abraham. Through Abraham. Hey, and if the blessing was on Abraham, the blessing can be on us. We just got to believe it and confess it. It says, read it there. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us that have been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe what the Word says and live and act what the Word says. You know, Anthony was talking about the mountain there. I got a sermon I do called Speak to the Mountain. in which I sat down and I start back in when Dad left that church in 1949, and I go through to the present time. I just sit in a chair and talk, and then we talk about, and I get everybody to speak to their mountain. Maybe I ought to do that here sometime. You think I ought to do that on some Sunday morning here? It's a little bit different, but I think I'll do that. I believe I will. Someday. Someday. No, not this Sunday. If God did it in times past, he'll do it again. David encouraged himself in the Lord when nobody else was encouraging him. They were all against him. The word encourage is a verb. And it means be strong, strengthen, prevail, get hard, and be courageous. In other words, harden yourself. Don't let anything move you. Hello, be courageous. You know, we cannot depend upon people to encourage us. We can't depend on some special service where the Lord moves to encourage us. We've got to encourage ourselves daily, excuse me, every day. You start out in the morning when your feet hit the floor. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Right there, you're making the statement, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, I will rejoice in the Lord. Come on now. You can't get up and, oh my Lord, another day, oh me. Before the day's over, you're going to be stepping on your bottom lip as you walk. You're going to be so down. But let me tell you what, encourage yourself. That means encourage yourself. Become strong and strengthen yourself. Every day, strengthen yourself. How many of you take vitamins every day? Yeah, well, our body needs vitamins. And many times we're not getting enough of them through our food, so we supplement. Lynette and I, she gets up and she squeezes the grapefruit. We take a glass of grapefruit juice every morning, you know, with flaxseed in it or something. Anyway, it's ground up and you stir it in there. You know, we do things in the natural. Some of you get up every morning and go through a exercise routine. Anybody do that? I got a few hands that are raised anyway. I used to. I hadn't done it in years. And you can look at me and tell. But you see, just as we do things in the natural that helps our natural body, right? Then we need to do things in the spiritual area that will strengthen our spiritual man on the inside. So the spiritual man on the inside can keep the natural man on the outside strong. The way you keep the natural man strong on the outside is keeping the spiritual man on the inside strong. If he's not strong, the outside won't be strong. Come on now. That's good preaching, Hagin. Go ahead. I believe I will. See, that's the way I encourage myself when I'm preaching. If nobody else encouraged me, I encourage myself. Hey, I tell y'all a little story. I was 26 and a half years old, I think. And I was about 27 when I went to be associate pastor of my father-in-law. And I was there from 67 to 72 with him. Now, that church had been there a long time. Here it is, kid. I'm up there. And I just got back out of the Army. I've been in the Army for 3 years. And I hadn't been preaching. Of course, I started when I was 18. I preached before, but I hadn't preached. And you know, after you preach, I preached 61 years now. I got drawers full of outlines I can show you. I got books full of outlines. You see, I got it. But back then, I didn't have no reservoir. Every Sunday night, he threw me in that pulpit every Sunday night for 6 months, straight in a row, every Sunday night. And I had to do all my other work, too, and then, you know, dig up a message. I looked at some of those here a while back. I thought, Lord, help, how did anybody get anything out of that? And I'm sitting there speaking to people sitting out in that congregation that had the Holy Spirit longer than I was old. And they just sat there and looked at me. I had to encourage myself. So some people, if somebody don't say amen or they get some kind of reaction from the crowd, it bothers them. Hey, I don't care what, if nobody don't react, I just keep going because I learned, I just kept going. He told me, he said, don't worry about it, just keep preaching. Just keep preaching. And after a while, I realized I was doing pretty good. He said, see, that's what you have to do. You got to preach to be able to preach. Come on now. Some people won't go out and they start preaching. They ain't never preached yet. Hey, you learn how to preach. You have to learn. These kids up here worshiping, they have to learn how to lead you into worship. You got to learn how to encourage yourself. What I'm trying to get to, encourage. You got to learn how to do it. You learn how to do your exercises in the morning, right? So you learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Nobody else going to encourage you. Nobody else going to take the time to knock on your door and say, hey, listen, I know you're going through a tough time. Now the Lord will bless you. The Lord will help you. They don't even know a problem. Most of the time, they don't even know you're going through it. If you depend on others, they're going to disappoint you. But you depend on God and you're going to be highly, highly exalted and praising him. David said again, and oh, I got to hurry. David said again in Psalms 121, I will lift my eyes to the hills from which my help comes. For my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He keeps you. He who keeps you will not let you slumber. Behold, he keeps Israel. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. I like this word. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and evermore. Boy, you need to get a hold of that. That's seven to eight of Psalm 121 is good. I use it every time we fly out in that aircraft. I use this scripture. Lord, you bless our going out and you bless our coming in. We're safe from the time these wheels leave here in Tulsa, the time they touch down, wherever it is we're going. I'll say the name of the place. See, God never changes. He's always the same. He's faithful. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi, the prophet said, I am God, I change not. Then if he doesn't change, and Jesus is the same yesterday and forever, then the word of God is still the same today as it was back with the children of Israel. It's still the same today as it was with Paul and John and Peter and all the rest of them. And it's the same today for us. It's the same word that the early church had in the Acts. But the Acts of the Apostles, we call it. The Acts did not stop with chapter 28. The Acts is still being written by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the beginning of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will exist till he comes in the clouds of glory and takes us out of here. And then the tribulation, and I'm not going into all of that. I could, but I'm not. When we have no one else, when we have nowhere else to turn, God is still there. When you can't count on anybody else, you can count on God. When your circumstances and your situations have weighted you down, God is there to take your burden and say, walk free. It's up to you whether you fall under the situation or the circumstance you're in, or you encourage yourself in the Lord and come out shouting. It's not up to me. It's not up to God. It's not up to your friend, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife. It's up to you. You control what happens in your life. As for me, I'm going to keep encouraging myself in the Lord. And all the situations that I face, and I face them daily, all you got to do is ask some of the people that have worked in my office. They come, and I never get upset about it. I just keep right on going. Why? Because God is what he said he would be. When the finances are low, God is what he said he would be. He'll do it. I just keep on going. When people write letters, I say, Lord, bless them. They don't understand. See, that's what you got to do. And just keep encouraging yourself in the Lord. You can let yourself get down, but you can keep yourself up by the word and by prayer and by singing praises. You realize Paul and Silas got out of the prison singing praises. Several of these scriptures that we read from David had said something about singing. Hello. Come on now. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand. Praise the Lord. It's 8:01. I went 1 minute over, but I'm all right. Y'all give me 1 minute, right? Okay. Praise the Lord. I'll give it back to you one of these days. Last Wednesday night, I think I gave you back about 10 minutes. But hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, if you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to walk with the Lord, but you're not where you should be and you need to come back and rededicate. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then you don't understand anything I was talking about. But if you'll come and receive him as your Savior, you'll begin to understand what I'm talking about. The women are here, men are over here. As we're dismissed, if that's you, you come down here and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you about a job, you want somebody to agree with you in prayer about anything, come to the front and they'll pray with you. Amen. Remember all the announcements. Camp meeting starts Sunday night. So come believing, come expecting. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't have no singers. Okay. I was going to sing a song, but I don't have no singers. All right. Shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to keep myself stirred up and encouraged in the Lord. You're dismissed. Oh, wait. Hold it. Connection team. Go find those first-time guests and take them to get that special gift. And it's not just a CD either. It's a really nice, nice gift that we put together for you. So, would y'all wear? Hey. And if you're looking for a church home, why do we say church? Welcome home. Hey, just come on and join us. We're having a great time around here. We call ourselves the Rhema family. And we're having a great time serving God unlimited, both in the spiritual and the natural. We have spiritual things going on around here, but we got all kinds of good natural things going on that you can get involved in. Amen. Praise God. So the team's going to take you now to get that gift. Thank you for coming. Give them a big hand again. We're glad you're with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sunday morning right here. Be here at 9 o'clock, School of the Bible. 10 o'clock, morning worship. Hey, for all of you that are watching there with us, that are there with us on the satellite, thank you for being with us today. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Shake hands with somebody and you're dismissed.